Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to continue with looking at, I guess what I'll call, if I were to call the whole series a name, I would call it the series of the shaking of the earth especially. And I want to get into Revelation now. We've spent time in Isaiah, Hebrews, like that, Joel, Romans, and I'm particularly reminded again of the verse in Romans 8 that tells us that creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And if you're not used to the message that we're preaching sonship. I don't know, that word is sometimes offensive to people. I remember I went to another state one time years ago. I read the verse and I said something. I didn't say a whole lot about it, and somebody was very offended. And they said, they came up to me and said, enough of that stuff. We don't want to hear any more about that. And I said, well, what are you going to do with it? There it is, Romans 8. You're going to take a scalpel and cut it out so it doesn't belong there anymore? No, God wants sons. He still wants sons. He wants us to overcome. The song that we sang this morning, you know, that we thank the Lord for the power. Our desire is to be overcomers. Amen? You know, if you're not an overcomer, you're not going to make it through these last days. And some people say, why this book of Revelation? Why do we have to have all these terrifying, terrible things? You know, did God just write the book of Revelation for the sinners? Did He just write it for the wicked? And then there's Christians that say, well, we're not going to be here. We don't need to worry about these things. We don't even need to concern ourselves about it. Then why did God waste the whole book for people that have no need of it? So yes, we have need of what is written here in the book of Revelation. We have need to know, because we are going to be seeing these things. Now, in the sixth chapter of Revelation, the fifth chapter, we find that the book was sealed. I'm not going to read that. I'm not going to read everything. I'm just going to read whatever we can here. The sixth chapter, he is opening the seals. Now, here in Revelation, we have three, shall we say, instruments. Isn't it amazing that there's three? It seems to be three of everything. Amen? There's three levels of the Word of God. There's three levels of prophecy. Amen? There's three manifestations of God. There's three manifestations of me. You know, what you look at in your natural eyes, you just see my natural flesh, my body. Amen? But you can't see my soul. You get to know my soul if you sit down with me, and if we spend a lot of time together, you're going to find out a little about my soul. And then on an even higher level is my spirit. And that's the means by which God communicates to me. He communicates by His spirit to my spirit. My soul is supposed to respond to that in agreement with God. Amen. And put it into shoe leather, shall we say, and I'm going to walk it out in my flesh. I'm going to begin to live according to the dictates of the Spirit of God. Amen. My word is going to come forth out of my mouth by my soul. Amen. So, we find, first of all, the seals of God are being opened. We find seals, we find trumpets, and we find vials or bowls. I don't know, we're not used to thinking of vials anymore. It's kind of an old English word, a word that we don't use. We do understand what seals are. A seal is something that keeps something, it preserves it, it keeps it closed. It's the official seal of God on the thing. And of course, no man is worthy to open a thing that is sealed of God, because it's such a holy thing. And only the Lamb was found to be worthy of opening the seal. So let us describe what the opening of the seal means. It has been hidden. We have not known the meaning of the thing for a long season of time. In other words, when John wrote this, the book was pretty much sealed. The Lord spoke to Daniel. There were things that he told Daniel. He said, seal them up. They're not for your generation. They're not to be known. But in this time, in this generation, in this end time generation, amen, I'm going to call us the end time generation. Is that all right? Amen. Even if I die before the day of the Lord, I'm still in the end time generation. If my children die and grow old, we are still end time people because we believe and we preach an end time doctrine of the things of God. That is, we are preparing people for the last days. And even if we die before that very last days comes, we are still preparing in an instrument of the Lord in preparation of that end time, of that very last day. You know, you don't realize, maybe you don't realize, 120 years Noah was preaching righteousness. Now he was probably preaching it before then because God found him righteous in a land of much wickedness and violence. But for 120 years, the witness of what was coming was being preached, if nothing more than by what he was doing. I mean, sawing and cutting that wood and putting it all together. 120 years, that's a career. I can't imagine what it's like to live 120 years. Much less, I mean, he was 500, wasn't he, when... Or was he 600 when the flood came? He was 600, wasn't he? Yeah, when the flood came, which means he was a babe of what, 480 when he started the project. Amen? God is long-suffering, is he not? So the opening of the seal is the opening of a revelation. And I thank God that these revelations are being given to us this day. We can read these things in Revelation, in the sixth chapter, the opening of the seals, and we can say, God is revealing something to us. Now, brethren, there are different levels of understanding of the Word of God. There is a natural level, and I'm going to talk a lot about the natural level. Pardon me, don't be offended, because, brethren, natural things are happening in the earth. Amen? And I believe that God is using the natural things that are happening to tell us that there are greater things coming. I believe it's the language that God uses. You know, I think we're all pretty well aware of what's going on in the, and I've mentioned it seems every time we get together. Of course, there's always a new development. Now they think they've got it licked, you know, but then maybe they don't have it licked. Then there's a storm coming along. Maybe it's going to drive all that oil over to Florida and Alabama and Mississippi. Maybe it's not going to. But God is saying, listen, take heed, my people. You see, God is saying, I have the power to do this. I have the power to hold it back. I'm going to listen to, I'm going to watch the response of the people. If the people are going to start repenting, maybe I'll hold back. Maybe it isn't for right now. And I believe that God very well has the ability to hold these things back. But he also, when I realize the power and the pressure that there is underneath the ocean in these caverns and cavities that hold oil and hold methane and things like that, we realize the power, the natural power that is there, and all God has to do is just open up. See, this, that where they drilled that oil is right on a fault line. Did you hear that? Now, maybe it's false, maybe it's true, but I heard it or read it somewhere. They said there's a fault line that runs right through there all the way. I mean, it divides one of the great plates. Am I right?
Like in the Mississippi River.
Yeah, somebody was saying that. Okay, so maybe I can't prove it right now. What I'm saying is, though, whether there's a fault line there or not, God still has the ability to open the whole thing up. He could spill billions of whatever is down there in a matter of minutes. And when you read what happened in the days of Noah, that the great fountains of the deep were opened up.
Right.
Now, apparently, God only opened up water. in the days of Noah. But there are other things in the great fountains of the deep that could be opened up and spewed out. Hallelujah.
The Sierra Desert was once covered with water, and they're finding water underneath there now.
Well, the whole southwest mm-hmm. was once a big lake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these scientists can't figure out why there's sea things out there in the southwest desert. They don't want to believe that there was a flood according to the Word of God.
Right.
They want to come up with all kinds of other explanations. So brilliant, so many doctoral degrees, and so stupid that they can't believe the Word of God. You know, it takes more faith to believe in that phony doctrine of evolution than it does to believe in God. The probabilities of these things are astronomical. But then they would have to believe in God. The one thing that they don't want to do. All right, so the seals are being opened up. The trumpets are sounding. And what is the sounding of a trumpet? It's the announcement.
Right.
Now, God has many ways of sounding trumpets, too. One of the ways is to have a man stand up, as I am doing today, and speaking the words. I believe that word is an announcement of God. God has prophets that are sounding the alarm, blasting out. You know, a trumpet, as Brother Campbell was saying in these CDs that we have here, he was talking about a trumpet, the blowing of the trumpet. And one of the things that I remember hearing is a trumpet is not a quiet, restful sounding thing. It is a loud brass instrument. Its purpose is to call our attention to something, to stir us up. Amen. As I recall, trumpets were used in wartime years ago. They would sound a trumpet for an advance. They would sound a trumpet for a retreat. There were trumpets sounded for different kind of, yeah, there's a wake-up trumpet, you know. And nobody likes to hear the wake-up trumpet. Amen. It's very loud and it disturbs my rest. Well, this is what God intends to do, is to disturb our rest. Amen. We don't like it. We say it sounds negative. Oh, I don't want to go there. They're always talking negative things. Well, maybe that's the trumpet of God sounding. Maybe we need to hear those things. If we're just hearing the pleasant things, how are we going to be overcomers? And then finally, there are the vials. The vials are the bowls, and the pouring out of these vials, God revealed what He's going to do. He announced what He's going to do, and in the pouring out of the vials, it is actually done. It is poured out. Now, I find things being done, however, at every one of these stages. The sixth seal, and I'm going to read some verses here. I'm going to go down to the sixth seal. Did I say the sixth seal? Okay, the seals, the sixth seal. Now, the sixth seal, of course, there were only seven seals. And the seventh seal basically opens up the trumpets. The seventh trumpet opens up the vials. The seventh vial, pretty much it's finished. All right, so the sixth would be the last of these, shall we say, routine type of things. All right, so we start in verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Let's just stop here for a minute. I said there's spiritual meanings and there is natural understanding of this as well. We know what a natural earthquake is. It's when the ground opens up. You know, there was an earthquake in the days of Korah, Moses, when Korah rebelled and brought his company against Moses and Aaron, complained. And Brother Campbell actually mentioned it in one of the CDs that we have here. It was a good word. But the earth actually opened up and swallowed them. And earth has a meaning. Earth is a picture of flesh, carnal flesh. It could be Christians who are living earthy, living in the carnal realm. And it was the carnal realm that swallowed these people up. That's very interesting. Their flesh swallowed them up. It was a means of their destruction, or the cause of their destruction, should I say. Now, it says that there was a great earthquake. Now, an earthquake is also a spiritual event. How many of you know that God is shaking the heavens as well? That means there's a spiritual shaking going on. When we sense that shaking in our souls, when we sense a trembling in our soul, when we hear these things. By the way, I believe there was a great shaking going on in the Midwest just this past week, a couple days ago. In fact, Brother Campbell called me up. He said, "Oh, Brother Mark, you wouldn't believe what's going on out here." He said it was a terrible storm that was coming straight toward our apartment. And he said we were prepared to go down in the basement, and we got down to the first floor, and he said, "Well, Judy, do you want to go down there?" And she says, "No, I don't want to go down there. Let's pray." And they began to pray, and they said the blackness of this storm turned from them, and it went south. And it hit Milwaukee. I hear from the radio, it seems that it hit Chicago. It hit eastern Iowa. There's a community over there. Rita doesn't even know where it is, even though she's an Iowan. She's heard of it, right? You've heard of that place where the... You've never been there, though. There's a lake, and apparently the lake has a dam. Am I right? The whole dam gave way. 7 inches of rain in about an hour's time. And the same thing in Chicago as Milwaukee. The airport was shut right down. Brother Tom said basements are being filled with sewage. Because it's breaking up the pipes. The sewage pipes, the water supply pipes, they're all being mixed up together. This wasn't even an earthquake. This was just rain that began to flood a Cadillac SUV right down into a sinkhole because of this. And people are terrified. You see, there was a natural event, but there's also a spiritual event taking place. There's a shaking going on in their souls. People are shaken. And I believe that when this sixth seal is opened, there is a shaking, a spiritual shaking. It says, "And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." Now, I don't know whether this is going to happen in the natural or not, but I know this is going to happen in the spiritual. I know that the sun is a picture of the light of God. The light of God is being darkened. Yeah. In the earth. It seems every day, every month, every year, there's more darkness from the light of God. People are less and less receptive to hear. Somebody told me that, I remember, wasn't it FDR during World War II that started a day of prayer in Washington? Now, I know, day of prayer could be a very religious orientation thing. People might not be sincere. George Bush had a day of prayer after 9/11. And I was very disappointed in what happened, because they had every man calling on all kinds of gods. They had Muslims there calling on their God. They had Hindus calling on their God. It was actually a sham. And now the current president has simply eliminated the day of prayer, and somebody told me that he thought it would offend the Muslims, so they were going to have something else. I don't know what they did for a substitute. Anyway, I'm just using this as an example. Whether it was a religious thing for some or not, I believe that there were people who were very sincere in these prayers, and that God heard these prayers, because there were righteous people that were calling on God, even though there were people that weren't so righteous. But because the righteous called upon the name of the Lord, He heard their prayers. Amen? So, the moon becoming as blood. You know what that means. The moon is a picture of the church. A picture of a moon represents a woman. A woman represents the church. Amen? And it says, "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth." Now, stars of heaven, brethren, these lights that you see in the sky at night, we can call them stars. But in the natural, brethren, these things cannot fall to the earth. These stars that we see shining in the sky, many of them are many times the size of our earth. Some of them are many times the size of our sun. There's no way they could fall to this earth and there'd be an earth left. This has to be a spiritual picture. What are stars?
stars.
Come on, everybody knows what stars are. They're not just movie stars. They're football stars, soccer stars, sports stars, rock stars, musicians. What kind?
Religious stars.
And religious stars. So it says stars of heaven.
Uh-huh.
Heaven means spiritual.
Right.
Spiritual, religious stars are going to fall like what? As a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. I don't know much about fig trees. But I suppose that if you get a hold of a fig tree and shake it and blow it hard enough, you can get the figs off even before they're ripe. And this is what's going to happen to the big stars. I opened up this little thing here that is under Jerry's chair. Yeah, give me that thing for just a minute. I just want to show you. They have a picture of stars in here. There's a radio program, and I'll never get to the right page. Anyway, all across the page, they have all their stars. People that are broadcasting, and these are faces that most of us would recognize. I don't know who's going to fall. I don't know who's not going to fall. But God says the fig tree is going to lose a lot of figs, and it's going to be a mighty wind, and it's going to be a lot of shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. A lot of big stars are going to fall. Stars of heaven,
mm-hmm.
not the kind in the night sky.
No.
I don't think they're going anywhere. If one of those were to hit us, if even a tiny fragment of one were to hit us, it could throw us back into the, I was going to say Stone Age, but I don't know whether I believe it was Stone Age or not. I don't know what Adam used for tools. I'm sure it took him a while to begin to develop some tools. Anyway, aside from that, it says, and heaven departed as a scroll. What does that mean, heaven departed as a scroll? What heaven? The spiritual realms of heaven. The realms where the devil has been ruling over the earth. That realm of demons rolled up like a scroll and departed. My goodness, can you imagine? You say, well, that isn't going to shake me. But you know what? Yes, it's going to shake the whole earth because he has control of the whole earth. Let me get down here to, maybe I'm never going to get beyond the sixth seal. My goodness. It says, as when a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now, I know that could happen in the natural, but and it could.
Mm-hmm.
Islands could be moved. Mountains could be moved by the power of God. Mountains were formed by the power of God. And by the way, stars were formed too by God. He can remove them if he wants to. But I'm saying a more likely scenario here is a spiritual picture. What spiritually, what is a mountain and what is an island? I believe that a spiritual mountain is a great religious organization. It has to be if it's going to be removed. It can't be the city of God. It can't be Mount Zion, the city of the living God, because that is not going to be removed. It has to be man's organizations that are going to be removed. Big ones. Big mountainous ones. What is an island? Islands are one-man shows. Big things run by one man. Where did you hear the saying, no man is an island? Well, in some cases they are. They have no ties, no connections. They run their own place. They do what they want. That's an island. Amen. Now, here's the interesting part. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens, that is the caves, and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? think about this picture. This is a picture, except for the last group of people here, where it says every bondman, every slave, every menial, peon. I suppose that includes most of us. But I am not among the kings of the earth. We are not mighty men. We are not rich men. We are not chief captains. We are not any of these things. This realm of people in particular is going to be shaken. I was laying in bed thinking about this last night. I think it was after seeing an article about this little country of Burma. Any of you know where Burma is? You've probably been there, John. You've been everywhere. Don't they have a new name? Are they calling themselves Myanmar or something? Yeah. But they have a dictatorship. The poor are very oppressed. But this article was about a ruling elite. And they are taking these young men who qualify for some special training, making them officers in their military, giving them every privilege that they could possibly have. And all these people who are selected for this, all of them will become filthy rich. The reporter was doing a tour. They were showing him houses that are going to be built for these people. $800,000 houses. I'm talking about in Burma. $800,000. I think an $800,000 house would be pretty big here in America. Pretty luxurious here in America. What I'm saying is, and the purpose of training these people is to make them part of a ruling elite class. Now, brethren, it isn't just happening in Burma. As far as I know, every nation has an elite ruling class of people. The only one that probably doesn't have at the present time would be Iraq, and that's because the military interrupted it. But it'll come back. They'll have it again. All we got to do is leave the military out from foreign intervention, and they'll have it again. It might be a different class. I mean, nations that lose wars, it gets interrupted for a while, but it comes back. It's here in America. We have an elite ruling class. Do you see the picture of what's happening? What's going to happen? What's coming? What's coming is such a shaking that these people who have all the confidence, all the power, they have the power to do anything they want. They have the backing of others in their so-called clan. They can get away with anything. And this shaking is going to cause them to fear and tremble before the living God. They are going to hide their faces. Can you imagine what it will be like to cause this to happen? What do you know about the face of God that could be so terrifying? Why could mighty captains, mighty generals, mighty presidents and kings, why would they be so terrified? Do you know what I think it is? God is going to manifest His glory in all of His nature. He's going to turn it up to a volume, amplify it, such that it has never been seen on the earth before. And for those who dwell in darkness, it is going to be a terrifying thing. Such a light, such a brightness, such holiness as has never been seen. Such darkness to be destroyed. Do you see why I'm saying this? the importance of getting on the right side. The importance of wanting to overcome in holiness. The importance of laying my soul before the Lord and saying, whatever you need to do, my God, clean me out. I want to be part of that. And you see, the good news is God has a company of people who will be part of this light. We will be His instruments of light and holiness. Not 1,000 points of light like some president or something said. No, not points of light. Just the glory of God. Amen. Oh, let's get on to chapter 7. Chapter 7, the first three verses. After these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Come on, is this natural? Is the earth square? Is the earth flat? Earth doesn't have four corners in the natural. It has four directions, though, doesn't it? My soul has four corners, doesn't it? What are the four aspects of my soul? My will, my desires, my mind, and my emotions. I probably got them in the wrong order, but anyway. God is holding back. God is holding it back. Right now, as I speak, there's a measure of holding back, and yet there's a certain measure of release. But He's not releasing it all. He's holding it back from the earth. He's holding it back from the carnal realm. Amen?
Are these four demonic angels?
No, these are God's angels.
Because I heard a scripture, I think it was Brother Concealed, who said they were demonic, they were from the devil, the angel.
There's different ones.
Uh-oh.
We get into a different pot.
Uh-oh.
I could be wrong. My belief is that they're God's angels. They're doing His business.
Right.
Amen. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. Earth, sea, and tree. Remember what these mean now?
Mm-hmm.
Earth is what? Now, we can talk about the natural, but what about the spiritual earth? Earth is my carnal realm. Earth speaks of a carnal Christian. Okay? So He's holding it back. He's protecting the carnal Christian. You might say He's protecting an outer court Christian. They're not going to get it yet. He's holding it back. He's holding it back from the sea. And what is the sea? The nations. The unredeemed, unregenerate masses of people. Billions of people in the world. He's holding it back. He's not allowing mass slaughter to take place. He's holding it back. And the third thing that's being held back from is the trees. Now, trees are a higher realm of life, are they not?
Right.
It's a strong Christian with a lot of life in them. And yet He's holding it back from them. But we're going to see later that even some of the trees are going to be affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's go back on. And I saw another angel ascending from the east. Now, what does east mean? The tabernacle faced the east, did it not? The door of the tabernacle?
Mm-hmm.
If you'll pardon me, I'm going to say that I believe that east speaks of the mind of God. So, out of the mind of God, not descending, but arising. An angel arising. Now, what does the word angel mean in the book of Revelation? Angel means messenger. Angel does not have to be a heavenly being with wings, toting a trumpet or whatever. Angel, you know, the first letters to the seven churches were written to the messengers of the seven churches. They were not written to heavenly angelic beings. They were written to men. Amen? And there's an angel found later on, several of them found later on in Revelation where John went down and he was going to worship it, and he said, no, I used to be a saint like you, I'm in glory now, but don't worship me, I'm a man. So here is something coming up from earth, ascending, not coming down, but ascending from earth. Messenger, brethren, could it be a corporate body? Could it be a corporate messenger of God? Could it be a people of God rising up in a higher realm of the Spirit? What's happening to this angel? This angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Now, we don't have time to go into an hour's teaching about what it means to be sealed, but brethren, we know that we need to be sealed of God in our forehead if we are going to be part of this company. And so, for man, for a corporate man, a corporate body of man to have the seal, I believe it means that God has given us the Word, and if that Word that is being preached is applied to you, you will have the seal upon your mind. If you agree with the Word that is being preached. Amen? Because the Word that is coming forth in this day and in this hour is the Word sufficient to get you sealed. It's not too late. Even though the sealing is going on and has been going on for some time, yet it is not finished. Amen. So, ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Now, you notice, there's a limit put on where these four angels are going to release this destruction. Earth and sea. That's verse 7, or verse 2 of chapter 7. Earth again, the carnal Christian, sea, the unredeemed masses of the nations of people. Amen? Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, okay, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. This is the cry of ministry, of the message of God, crying out to God, hold off until we've sealed all those who are going to be sealed. Now, we are not sealing people by coming with a big old stamp and going, there you go, yeah, now you're finished, next one. You know, no, we're not doing anything like that. It's the Word of God that is being preached that is bringing the seal. And this corporate angel that is ascending from the mind of God is bringing a word that your mind can be sealed, it can be settled in you. Where you're going to be. Settle it in your hearts today. The Lord said, settle it in your minds, that you be not deceived. I think that's the way he said it. Amen. So, let me go on. We're going to skip down to chapter 8 now. I'm sorry, we're just skipping about here a little bit. Chapter 8, verse 6. Now this is the first trumpet. Remember, a trumpet again speaks of a loud announcement that God is making. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Look at this in the natural, if you like, or look at it in the spiritual. Here is again, fire, hail, fire, blood. What does fire and blood speak of in a spiritual sense? Fire speaks of what? Tribulation. Tribulation, trial by fire. Amen. Blood speaks of what? Death. Yes. Yes. And by the way, are we not going through a process of death? Are we not being crucified day by day? Are we not putting old Adam to death? Amen. Adam needs to be put to death. Amen. Now, here's what happened. The first angel sounded, there followed hail, fire mixed with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, again, cast into the carnal realm. My earth is going to experience fire, amen, and blood. My carnal man. And the third part of trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Some of the strong Christians didn't make it. But all grass is life, isn't it? But you know, grass doesn't have near the stability that trees have, do they? You take a little drought, not a little drought, take a pretty good drought. What's your lawn going to look like? Brown. All the grass dies. But you know what? The trees are still alive, aren't they? The trees are drawing their life deep. Their roots go out. They're gathering. They're gathering water that's been stored in the ground. Amen? Let's go down to the sea now. Verse 8, the second trumpet. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. I'm not saying this is what happened, but I saw this picture that came on the internet when this platform, this oil platform, caught fire, and somebody got a picture of this thing just as it was tilting and ready to be cast into the sea. Well, it certainly reminded one of this verse. Now, whoever did this apparently believed that this was the actual fulfillment of this verse. I don't think that was the actual fulfillment of this verse. No, but it probably looked like it. I don't know whether we're going to see things like that in the natural. You know, a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea? Man, that sounds a lot like a volcano, doesn't it? You know, there's volcanoes in Iceland. And you know when they flow lava? Do you know where the lava flows? Slides right down into the sea. And somebody was saying that, I don't know, I haven't been to see these volcanoes. Jerry and Meyer, of course, have been there and the family. But when the lava of this thing came down and hit the sea, it was just steam from the hot lava, all just clouds and clouds of steam. I don't know if that's what John was seeing. What I want to say, yes, I believe it can happen in the natural. There's plenty of mountains that could blow up like that. And Mount St. Helens, I mean, there's volcanoes all over the place that could blow up. But again, it says the third part of the sea became blood. Now, the environmentalists have been very worried about the oil spill. They're saying, well, the potential is that this thing could kill off all the whales and all the shrimp and all the fish and all the thingies that float around out there in the ocean down in the Gulf Coast. And furthermore, the possibility of these things occurring in many other places in the world, yes, in the natural, a third part of the life of the sea could be killed off. It could be. It's possible. But what about the spiritual picture of the third part of the sea becoming blood? That's a third part of mankind who is unredeemed, wicked, rebellious against God, being taken away in one fell swoop. And I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm just reading you what's here. I'm saying there's a natural and there's a spiritual side of these pictures. Okay? And the third part of the sea, creatures which were in the sea and had life, died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now there's another picture. A third part of the ships. What could destroy a third part of the ships?
No more fishing.
Yeah, their business. And you know what? It's not just the fishing. It's, do you know, and I don't know completely, but if we were only aware of the shipping that goes back and forth between China and the United States, carrying massive piles of consumer goods, mostly delivered to the likes of Walmart, Target, and such the like. Ships, one after another, coming. Massive ships. I mean, ships bigger than these little Mayflower things that came over from England, you know, in the 1600s. Practically rowboats compared to the size of these ships, unmoved by storms. I mean, just ride them right out. Huge ships. What's going to happen when the economy crashes? These ships aren't going to be coming and going anymore. Well, anyway, just a thought. See, now what about the waters? Third trumpet, then a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp or a torch. Burning, not just a battery operated thing, but a thing lighted by fire. Okay? Fire. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. Now it says a star fell. There's a possibility here in the natural as well. Something falling from the sky, burning. Listen to the next part of it. And the name of the star was called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Two sides of this. Okay? And there is a third side, but I'm not going to get into the fullness. But we were in Ukraine. Now, how many of you know that Ukraine is the place of Chernobyl? Do you know what the literal translation of Chernobyl is in the Ukrainian Russian language? Wormwood. And that was, the Bible was written before Chernobyl. So in the Russian language, they would read, and the name of the star was called Chernobyl.
Russia.
But what was the problem? You know that we saw a documentary. That whole region around about the Chernobyl thing, no human being is allowed to step into that place.
Radiation.
Because the radiation is still so bad in that place. It takes a long time for the half-life of these subatomic particles to break down. You know, actually, if I wanted to be afraid of something, I would be more afraid of a nuclear power generator than I would of a nuclear bomb. Because I think they're gone a lot faster with a nuclear bomb than with these. There are many more particles that are produced in these power generators. Poisonous. Terrible things. I don't know what's going to happen, but it says here, now we'll do the natural first. First the natural, then the spiritual. It says that it poisoned the water supply of one-third of the waters. This thing could be coming from the sky with a missile. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm just telling you, open your eyes. When you see it, you're going to know. You're going to say, oh yes, that's what God was talking about. But now, what do waters speak of in the spiritual realm? The water is also the Word of God, isn't it? And there's spiritual forces that are polluting the purity of the Word of God and making it so people cannot ingest the thing because it's mixed with lies, fables, stories that are not true, teaching people doctrines that are not in the Word of God. Teaching people, for instance, prosperity doctrine. How is that going to help you overcome in the end times?
Right.
To be striving for greed and money and this type of thing. It's polluting the Word of God. Amen. the waters, the sun and the stars, verse 12 and 13. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. We already talked about the sun. Amen. And the third part of the moon, that's the church. Amen. And the third part of the stars, that's the mighty ones again, in the spiritual ones. And the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Interesting that God is taking thirds here, isn't it? And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. This is a spiritual place again, when you see heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." In other words, the next three are worse than what you've seen before. Didn't you have a dream or a vision about this angel flying and saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa," when we were in Prague one time?
Well, no, I had a dream, but it was not an angel, it was an airplane.
It was an airplane. And what was it? The whoa, whoa, whoa. Come here, so I can hear it on the speaker. Here. I think it's a significant dream, and maybe it ought to be shared, if you can still remember it.
Yeah, I can remember it. It was, I had a dream, and I knew Mark and I were in preparation. And we had a plan formulated, and Mark told me to go get a pencil to write it down. So I went to get a pencil to write it down, and as I went to get a pencil, I heard a noise. And I went outside, and I looked up, and there were three planes. And they reminded me of, like, a fighter jet plane or something like you might see that's really fast. And they were staggered. They were like one, and the head and the tail. And the other one was like the midway there, and then the third one was the midway like that. They were staggered in the air.
Like they were coming in sequence.
Yeah, yeah. They were staggered, yeah, jets in the air, and they appeared to be fighter jets or something. And then behind the planes, there was some big round thing. I don't know. All I can say was a round thing. And it was like an air raid. Do you ever hear an air raid sound, you know? And that's what I was hearing on the backs of these fire jets. And I think that's about all it was that I remember. But when I was sitting in Prague later, when Mark was ministering this verse, it came to me that that was the three woes. It related to me something with that scripture about the three woes yet to come. That's all I really know.
Amen. Well, let's look over into chapter 9. And look at a few, we're talking about the earth, the sea, and the air. And there are things happening today, yes, to the earth. We've seen things happening in the sea, which is in the Gulf of Mexico, but I think it speaks of the sea of humanity. God is saying something terrible is going to happen in the sea. Something's going to happen in the earth. And, you know, we've seen the earthquakes. The earthquake of Haiti, for instance. The earthquake that followed in Argentina. Just one after another. The most powerful one in the last 20 years, probably, in Argentina. God is saying, and now the air, all right? Look at the fifth trumpet here. The first four verses. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Now, a star, heaven to earth. This means that a mighty one, a powerful, religious, looked up to, considered a star, individual, fell from his place, his spiritual place, into an earthy, carnal place. I shouldn't say just him. Could be a her. Okay, somebody, a star. Stars are not of any particular gender. Okay? Fell to the earth, and this star was given the key to the bottomless pit.
pit.
You saw the devil was going to open up the bottomless pit, didn't you? In our natural mind, you would think that. God is saying that it is a religious person of high regard that is given this key and he's going to use it. Now, how is he going to use it? How would a high regarded religious person open the bottomless pit? He would open up a flood of filthy doctrines by the word of his mouth. And again, I use the gender he. I'm assuming it's a man, okay? It says, and he, yes, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, darkness, spiritual darkness coming out of this pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. The sun was darkened. In other words, the light of God was darkened by the word that was coming out of this individual. No, I don't think it was an antichrist. It has to be a religious person. He opened it up. And the air. Now, by the way, I looked up the word air in the concordance. It's number 109, A-E-R, the Greek word air. It is the same air that says that we will be caught up to meet him in the air. It is the lower atmosphere air where we live and where we breathe.
Amen.
The Greek definition of this air was from the top of Mount Olympus to the sea level. That realm of air. It doesn't include the stratosphere or the troposphere or anything way up there. It is down here where we live and breathe. Everything that we breathe is going to be polluted spiritually. This is why Jesus said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived." This thing is going to be, and probably is already, so pervasive that if you don't know what you believe, if you don't know where you stand, you're going to be breathing polluted air. Let's go on. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. What are locusts a picture of?
What?
Demons. Demon plagues. You know, the Lord says that he will rebuke and restore what the locust has eaten. Joel. The locust, the cankerworm, the palmer worm. These devils have eaten away at our life. I mean, they haven't just chewed away at our finances. They've chewed away at our health. They've chewed away at everything. They've eaten the life of our children. They've eaten everything. Polluted. The music that goes forth in the air. polluting. The mindset, the way of thinking that's going out in the schools. Polluting. Demons, devils, everywhere. Brother Campbell one time told it here one time how he was somewhere in the south, he was driving, and the Lord opened his eyes to see in the spirit realm. And he said, everywhere, just like a cage full of mosquitoes and flies, demons everywhere. And he was so distressed. Lord, how do we escape the whisper. My God, we've got to stay in the spirit, brethren. We've got to be partaking of the life of God in order to overcome this demon horde of locusts. Brethren, I think it's been released. I think the bottomless pit has been opened already. This is not a future event. Amen. And unto them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. What do scorpions do? They sting.
Poison you.
It's a sting.
Poison you.
Sin has a sting to it. Flute player of Hamelin. What was that story?
Piper.
The piper of Hamelin. Yes, he's piping. He's piping, come and enjoy the pleasures of sin. He's piping to the young people, come and enjoy the pleasures of sin. But the scorpion is there waiting to sting. And I don't know if any of you ever, has anybody here ever been stung by a scorpion?
Not me.
No, I haven't either.
Bees?
No, they say scorpions are worse than bees. I've heard people tell. Painful thing. I can overcome bees and hornets and that type of thing. I one time got stung by over 100 bees. Thank God. Didn't do me any harm, but the grace of God. Yeah, it's painful. But I think scorpion stings are even worse. Amen? So, we're talking about a spiritual condition here. Amen? And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. The weak Christian who's still living in the carnal realm, he's still going to be protected here. Nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. You see why it is important that we have the seal of God. Not a mark, not nothing that you're going to see. I'm not going to look at you and, oh yeah, there it is on his forehead. I can see it now. No, we're not going to see anything like that with our eyes. We're going to see it and know it when you open your mouth, when you begin to act out what you believe. We're going to see. That man's sealed. He's walking in righteousness. Amen? So, that they would not harm. Amen. I'm talking about the air. I have time just a little bit to get into a few vials, don't I? Yeah, I want to try to push along here. Chapter 16. The first two verses, the first vial, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels. Now, the message from the temple is what? Out of the temple. The voice coming out of the temple. It's coming from the Holy of Holies, isn't it? Amen? So this must be the voice of God coming, saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon what?
Earth.
Why? This is why I don't want to be living in the lower realm of earth.
Amen.
This is why I don't want my soul to be earthy.
Amen.
I don't want even one third of my soul to be earth oriented. Do you know what I mean by earth oriented? I want to be heaven oriented. I want to be spiritually oriented. I don't want just 60% or whatever, 60-fold. I don't want 30, I don't want 60, I want 100. Amen? Pour out. God has held back until a certain point, and at a certain point He says to the angels, all right, I've revealed it to them. I've announced it in many ways. Go ahead and pour it out now.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to what's being poured out. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them that worshipped his image. He poured it out on the earth, the carnal realm. You know, Brother Stendahl, we had the privilege of hearing Russ Stendahl in the conference. What a great word. What a great word he brought. You know what Russ said? He said, judgment is beginning at the house of God. And he said, the first judgment is to the lukewarm. He believes the lukewarm are going to be the first ones judged. Interesting. The sea. Verse 3, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. It went out to the world. Judgment first at the house of God, then it went out to the world. And it said the world became like blood, like a dead man. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of businesses and industries that are going to fail. But you know what? Sounds like the undertaker business is going to thrive in these days. 4-7, the rivers. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Dead. Death. And I heard the angel and the waters say, thou art righteous, the angel of the waters. Isn't that interesting? The angel of the waters said, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. The angel of the waters, who had been turned to blood, said, God, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. And they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. Who is this that shed the blood of saints and prophets? Babylon! Babylon, the world system, and the religious system of Babylon has shed the blood of innocents.
Amen.
Amen. Saints, prophets, thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. In other words, they're getting their just desserts.
Yep.
What they have dished out, the picture, spiritual picture, is they're getting it back.
Yep.
What they did
Amen.
To God's people, they're drinking it now. That's the spiritual picture. And I heard another out of the altar say, what altar would this be? The golden altar. The golden altar has been moved into the Holy of Holies. Amen. Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Go down to verse 8. We're going to take a quick look at the sun. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given him to scorch men with fire. Now this could be in the natural. It could very well be. Scorching heat. Brethren, what's happening on the eastern seaboard? You know, just because we got nice temperatures here in the 80s, they said again, down in Washington, D.C., scorch, scorch, scorch.
Yeah, drought.
What is God saying? Come on, don't we hear what God is saying when these things are happening in the atmosphere? God is making a statement. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. This is exactly what they're doing. They're not giving glory to God. They're blaspheming God. Oh, it's global warming. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Oh, it's something. No. Why not say God is doing something which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. Amen. Chapter 16, verse 17. We go down there, and the seventh angel poured out his vial. This is the last one, by the way, the last angel poured out his vial in the air. There's that same word again, air. In the realm of where we live and breathe. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Now this is a quick tour here. We're getting a quick tour of the plagues. I'm not going into a lot of detail. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Let me just stop here a minute. Last Sunday, wasn't it last Sunday, Saturday night?
Yes. Last Saturday.
How many of you heard these rumblings and thunderings and lightnings?
Yeah.
It seemed to go on all night long. Rumbling, thunder, lightning, flashes. And I'm thinking, I'm laying there in bed thinking, you know, I'm feeling pretty good, by the way, because I'm in a nice house, that, you know, the rain and stuff isn't coming in. But I'm thinking, Lord, what are you trying to say by this?
Right, amen.
And then I came upon this verse. So there it was in the natural. God has got some powerful thing He's going to say in the Spirit. You know, when God thundered and lightened and did all this in the days of Moses, people were shaking. People were down on their face. They were saying, Moses, we don't want to meet that God. It's terrible. You know what? I think you would say that if you actually saw this or heard this from God. Your knees would be shaking. You'd be down on your face. You wouldn't be falling over backward. You'd be falling over forward on your face.
Oh, yeah.
Amen? It says, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. How great an earthquake could this be? Let's start with the natural. The only other earthquake of great magnitude that is ever recorded was as in the days of Uzziah the king. But nothing more is said about it. It says, then shall ye flee as they did in the days of Uzziah. That must have been a powerful quake. But then I think about what happened in the days of Noah. What happened to open up the great fountains of the deep? That had to be a powerful thing. And he says, something greater than that? Have you ever been in an earthquake where you actually shook and went every which way? People are terrified when the earth beneath them begins to shake like this. Everything that they called stable is gone. Think of this as a spiritual event. Think of this as everything that you've held on to is shaken. Every belief that you've held is suddenly shaken. One more verse, and I'll take you over to Zechariah. Oh, 18, I already read it, didn't I? Chapter 18, did I read chapter 18, verse 21? And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Let me just finish with a couple verses from Zechariah, and that'll be the end of the word. Thank you for your patience today. Zechariah comes just before Malachi, chapter 14. Verses 4 and 5. Verse 3, 4 and 5. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, and which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed to the north and half to the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Ariel. Yea, ye shall flee like you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Now, if this is not end time, it says when this great shaking, this mighty earthquake, such as has never ever been on the earth since men were on the earth. Doesn't say about before men were on the earth. I don't know what happened then. You know, when the earth was without form and void. It might have been a pretty shaky place. But he said, then the Lord shall come and all the saints with thee. Amen. So.